The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
Hang on to your masculoids and your jumble guns. You're about to listen to That Story Show.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, how you doing, podcast people? This is That Story Show, where we're telling hilarious real-life stories and inviting you to do the same. This is episode 292. I'm James Kennison, and my good friend is here.
Yes, he is, and he's right next to you and your chair.
And his name is?
Oh, my name's John. Hey, sorry. Forgot what to do on my job here.
It's all right. Bad. It's all right. Bad. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you remember your name. And I'm looking forward to a great show.
I am too.
As we do every week, we're going to share with you some hilarious life stories and that are sent in by our audience. And John's even going to bless us with a featured story. It has to do with his wedding. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's part of it.
Well, I can't wait to hear it. We always,
it might not be that funny.
It might not, but you know what? People seem to like you more than anybody else, so they will like your story just because.
Yeah, right.
This one's called Go With It. We always start with an opening story. This is from Felicia from Smithfield. Several years ago, I was a nurse aide at an Alzheimer's unit. It was my first night working graves, and another aide and I were assigned 22 patients to watch over through the night. I assume by graves, she means grave shifts,
graveyard.
Not actually dead people.
We got to take care of these people, put them away before.
Yeah, just take care of them. Job. At the beginning of our first rounds, the other aide told me that one of the patients relives military events occasionally while dreaming. And if I come upon it during the rounds, just go with it. With such vague instructions, I began my rounds down to his room. And when I reached his room, he was crouched down on the floor like a cat getting ready to pounce. "Soldier," he whispers, and he motions me to get on the floor. "Quietly shuffle yourself over here to me, and we'll get out of the enemy's fire." Quickly, I, quote-unquote, went with it and dropped to the floor and crawled over to where he was. He told me to be quiet and follow his lead. As a good soldier, I rolled across the floor several times and hit up against the bed until we were, quote-unquote, in the clear. I finished helping him climb back into bed and began exiting the room. When I got out to the hallway, the other aide was laughing hysterically at me. After what felt like forever of being laughed at, he finally caught his breath and explained that go with it meant telling the patient that, hey, we took care of the enemy and we're in the clear. Here, relax and lay down. And by saying that to the patient, usually satisfied his reenactments and he went back to sleep fine. But that's not what I did. I went full on
with it.
Went with it. Thanks for a great and funny show. Keep it up, Felicia from Smithfield. That's hilarious.
I think Felicia deserves special hero points for that. She went with it.
Yeah, she should get a raise.
Dude, I probably would have totally jumped into it and been like, role played the whole thing out. Like, you take down that enemy over there. We're going to do this.
We're going to jump over the bed here in the hospital.
Quick, throw a grenade.
Oh,
oh man. That's pretty awesome.
I made one.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know.
You just go with it. Do it.
It's time for weekly rewinds. All right. So what we do here is we talk about something funny from the last 7 days or so. I'll go first.
Okay.
Last week, mine was about a word that I thought I'd made up, or a phrase, emo roco.
Yeah, and emo roco. How many times did you use that during the week?
I've used it quite a bit, actually. But my this one is a weekly update about the podcast I record with my daughter called Red School Bus at rsbcast.com. She really is getting comfortable behind the microphone to the point that she had a Jenna moment. And the Jenna moment is a weird moment because she gets these weird ideas in her head. She always has, ever since she was little. And like several years ago, she got it in her head that she hated the name of a road. The road's name was Big Bend Road. Big Bend, yeah.
Why would you hate Big Bend Road?
Because she said it should be Big Bent Road. And none of us understood why, but to her, it made perfect sense. And she would freaking argue with you, and she would argue how it doesn't make sense. Why it's not, there's not a Big Bend Road, there's a Big Bent Road. And I get what she's saying, because in a sentence, right, it doesn't make sense. But who gives a crap? Well, Jenna does. Jenna gives a lot of craps about it. Another example is she came up with this idea at dinner one night about how fish aren't wet until they get out of the water. That when they're in the water, it's just normal for them, and it's only when they come out of the water that they are wet. And she went on with that one for like 9 months, and we'd bring it up, and she would defend her position. She has since changed her position.
Wow.
Because
so they're not wet until they get out of the water.
Right, for them.
For them.
For them.
Okay.
Which is
the... I understand
it's
it.
It's the logic of middle schoolers, okay? So she had one of those moments on the podcast and accidentally somehow made up a new word. She was going on and on. You'll have to listen to the show to get the full gist of it. But she was talking about ideas and misunderstanding people. And she said, hey, I have a question. I have a thing. And she says, if you're asking somebody something and you don't understand what they said and you think they said something else, is it your idea or did you steal it from them? And I'm like, I don't understand what you're talking about. She says, well, imagine that somebody said, hey, what is your favorite food? Or I asked somebody, what's your favorite food? And they said something unintelligible like strawberry. And I thought they said strawberry. Is that my idea or did I steal it from them? And I'm like, what did the person say? Strabaza. And I'm like, why would they answer that? First of all, Strabaza. And then secondly, how do you spell Strabaza? Cause I immediately knew that was going to be the name of the episode right there.
Yeah. Right.
Strabaza. So, I don't know where she comes from. I don't know who her real parents are, but they're not me and Jen, because she's from outer space. She's third rock from the sun, kind of outer space, where she's still figuring out the world. And she imagines somewhere in her head that if she asked somebody what their favorite food was, they might stumble out the word strawberry, and she would understand it as strawberry. So I don't know if that's funny to anybody else, but it was quite hilarious to us. And now a new word is born. Strabaza.
Strabaza.
Yeah.
Strabaza. Can you use that in a sentence for me? I guess it is a type of food.
It's supposed to be strawberry, I guess. I don't know.
Strawbaza.
But she came up with a whole different thing because we brought it up in the car because I wanted her mom to hear it. And she had a better explanation that made a lot more sense. And she's like, just imagine that you were trying to think of ideas to cure cancer. And I'm like, okay, because this is a second example. That's what she starts with. And she says, what if they said that you could cure cancer by eating Pop-Tarts? But I heard by getting hit by lightning. If that's what I heard, is that my idea or did I steal it from them? And I'm like, well, that's a whole different thing there.
Wow.
And that makes a little more sense than Strabaza. So yeah, I think it's your idea. If it works, I said, but let me just tell you that right off the bat, that getting struck by lightning is a cure for cancer, but it's also the same cure they use for murderers. So
it's a cure for life.
It cures murdering as well. So if that gives you any clue of how good an idea that would be.
And so, I'm pretty sure that eating Pop-Tarts causes cancer. So
probably, yeah, I couldn't remember what her first example was. It was better than that one, but I remember the second one was specifically getting hit by lightning. Sir, we're going to strap you to this chair. We're also going to attach this rod to your metal chair, and then we're going to attach this murderer to you. So we can kill two birds with one stone, so to speak. So,
yeah,
cures cancer and murder all in one time. That's what my daughter invented on the way home.
Unless you're Dr. Frankenstein, then it also brings life to your monster.
Oh gosh, that's true. Yeah, we're gonna attach a Frankenstein as well, kill two birds and raise one back.
One stone.
All thanks to Strabaza. So
Strabaza. I think Perry Grip needs to write a song about Strabaza.
That's true.
I think he's got one.
You could say that about anything, though. Perry Grip needs to write a song about blank, and you would be right.
Yeah.
He just needs to keep writing songs.
I don't think he's let up.
No. He's let up. No, his latest, or one of his latest, is... It's Hailing Taquitos, and it's great.
Hailing Taquitos. I was trying to remember that so I could tell my sons about it, because they were singing the taco song the other day.
It's the spiritual successor to, or the sequel, so to speak, to Raining Tacos. So if you don't know who Perry Grip is, you need to look him up on YouTube and listen to all of his short little songs about hamsters on pianos and baby monkeys and all kinds of stuff.
Fuzzy, fuzzy, cute, cute.
Yes.
Or throwing it way back, a young girl talking about herself.
Oh, yes.
So true on life, man.
So real.
It's deep.
So, John, what's been going on in your world the last several days?
Let me tell you what's been going on in my world the last several days. I don't think I'm going to enjoy talking about this much, but hopefully somebody out there can relate and enjoy this. How do you feel about poison?
I'm not a fan, unless it's for spiders and cockroaches and stuff and rats.
I used to listen to the band. Remember the band back in the 90s?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, this is totally different from that, but I just thought about Poison. We both lie silent still in the dead of night. Every rose has a thorn. That was Poison, wasn't it?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. One of those hair bands.
It was either that or Guns N' Roses.
I know it wasn't them.
Okay.
I'm pretty positive of that. Anywho, I have a sensitivity. I don't know if it's an allergy or a sensitivity, but poison ivy, I can look at it like on a web page and I will get poison ivy.
Oh man. That's
you bad. Know, I'll get the blisters and the junk. I had cleaned out.
You'll get blisters on your junk. What did you say?
No. Only if I'm not very careful. I'll get, you know how when you brush up against poison ivy?
I've never brushed up against poison ivy.
Man.
Is that what you did this week?
No.
Oh.
No. I'll get to that. If people who have had a reaction to poison ivy, they're cringing because I know how frustrating it is. Your skin will kind of break out in these little tiny blisters all over wherever the oils from the plant touched you. Mm. And it looks really bad. The thing about it is, you know, you can have had an interaction with poison ivy. And for me, I won't know until days after.
Really?
So, yeah. Like it'll be days after because the oils, they seep into my skin or whatever it is. I don't know what it does, but it gets into my skin and it's just terrible. I hate this
probably because you don't shower.
And
you're building up a natural, you know, coating of John slime.
Maybe that.
It's just a theory.
Practice
just
that.
Just putting that out there.
It could be. That's the problem. Maybe that's what I had some in my backyard, and like a month ago, I went back there. Man, I put on head to toe. I had like the Michael Myers outfit going on. You know, the complete garage car guy onesie type thing. I had the boots on, I had gloves on, and I put on a hat and I put on protective eyewear so that I didn't get that mess in my eyes.
Right.
And I did pretty good, except my wrists were exposed.
Uh-oh.
And so I got all this junk out of there and I thought, okay, I'm going to go clean off. Cause if you can get the oils off your skin in enough time, it won't affect you. So I had a little spot. Actually, I had a couple spots on my wrists, and apparently I touched it at some point and spread that oil around to the other parts of my skin. And I had some breakouts on my arms. And so it was not fun. I hated it.
How'd your wrist touch your arms?
How'd my wrist touch my arms?
Yeah. Yeah. At one point, I don't do that. I don't like rub my wrists around on my arms and stuff.
No, I must have like touched where the oils were on my skin.
Okay.
And like rubbed somewhere else on my arm because, you know, it's invisible, that stupid poison ivy.
Yeah. Oil is I've never had poison ivy.
Ah, man, it's the worst. Well,
I'm learning a lot.
Well, great. Yeah. And not everybody's affected by it. So you might be one of those lovely people who don't get infected by this nasty crap. But basically it's the oil that comes off the plant, which you can't see. And here's the thing. This poison ivy plants, I killed them a long time ago. So there weren't green leaves on them or anything. It was just the vines. And that oil just lives on them. Well, so the tools that I had been using, I didn't clean them off. I had a machete I was chopping that junk down with, and I had some clippers. And this machete, I had it up in my garage, so the handle of it's kind of poking out off of a shelf.
Mm-hmm.
So I cleared up from the first breakout of poison ivy that I had. So I went into the garage and I was trying to reach something in the back of the shelf. And well, the handle of the machete touched my face.
Oh no!
Yeah, right underneath my left eye.
Oh!
And I didn't think much of it. I just thought, oh, well, you know, no big deal. I figured there wasn't any residual oil on there.
Yeah,
or anything.
There's got to be a time limit or something on there.
You'd think. Ugh. But here it is today, April 11th, and I did this last week. My face is swole up underneath my left eye.
Oh, my gosh.
Not only that, I must have rubbed underneath my left eye, and I'm always messing with my beard. I've got poison ivy on the corners of my mouth. And not only is it on my left eye, underneath my left eye, but a little bit on the right side of my face. And then I got a spot on my neck of all places. So this junk, I'm going to have to move to Arizona or somewhere where
or hire somebody, exist. Hire somebody to handle your fireweed or whatever it's called. What is it again? Poison ivy.
Poison ivy. Yeah.
Yeah. Goodness it's gracious.
Worst garbage stuff. So that's what I'm dealing with today. There are different types of this poison vine type plant, poison sumac, poison oak. They're all the same to me. I look at them and affect me in some way. And the crazy thing is, I was out looking at a house with a friend of mine, and there was some growing up the side of the tree. And I said, look, if I stare at this long enough, I'll get poison ivy.
And you did.
I cursed myself or something, because that's pretty much what happened.
Just claim it, John. You just claim it.
Thank you, ma'am.
That negative confession. You got to keep it positive. It's my mom. Sorry.
Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah.
She was really big in the name it, claim it stuff.
And, sing it on out.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been dealing with this week. Fortunately, it looks like I'm just really tired, because I got these big bags up underneath my left eye, and I didn't break out with those blisters except for around my mouth, which is really gross to mention, but
that's weird. Oh man.
Fortunately, my beard hides most of that. So whatever.
Poison ivy on your face.
Ah, it stinks.
That's
man.
The worst.
And, yeah.
Oh, is it like an essential oil kind of experience?
That's what I'm starting to wonder about. Somebody snuck some essential oils onto my pillow and my face rubbed in. I don't know.
That's the only thing
I can think is that running into the handle of that, you know, my face, it's not like it hit me very hard, but I guess my face touched it enough to where it transferred oils from a couple, like last month. Well, I don't know.
I told you a while back about how my couch, I didn't even know it was the couch, but I was sitting there and I was rubbing my eyes and they started burning like crazy. And I had no idea why. I got up and put water in them and, you know, it was fine. And then I didn't think much of it. And then a couple weeks later, I sat in the same spot and my eyes started burning again. And I started asking the kids. I'm like, something's up. Something is up.
These kids played a trick on me.
Well, long story short, I put it together somehow with the clues that were available to me, that my daughter had decided to try out her mom's mace and had sprayed the couch and then stuck it back in the purse. And this stuff was just on the couch and I was wallowing in it and then obviously getting it in my eyes.
When was this?
This was a while back.
Good golly.
Yeah. It was bad.
Couch pepper spray.
I think it was when Jay sat down and then he started saying his eyes are burning. I'm like, I know something's up. Something's going on.
Somebody's about to get whooped.
Something, this couch is cursed and there's got to be a reason for it. And my daughter finally admitted using the accidentally doing it. And you know, I'm not going to punish her for that. Whack her upside the head, but yeah, I mean, why, what logic were you using that you thought spraying pepper spray in the house was a good idea on a couch, on the flipping couch? Go outside, spray a squirrel or something.
Jay probably said something about Straubazon. She thought spray pepper spray on the couch.
Oh, so it was her idea. Right? Yeah.
It was her idea.
Yeah.
Therefore, she should be punished.
The logic of middle schoolers. Well, that was a while back. And I just told her don't be dumb again. And so far, she has tried her best not to be dumb, except for that Straubazon thing. So let's hear John's story. I can't wait.
Okay.
Let me tell y'all a story.
Featured story time. So, John, tell us about the marriage that almost wasn't.
I can do this. And we've been doing this show for 10 years, is it?
It's been a long time.
It's long enough for middle schoolers to have grown up and now have kids of their own. So I don't think I've ever told this. I've told this story before in my lifetime, you know, usually to a crowd of people that want to berate me, but this is a true story, and this is about my marriage, and which, just FYI, today is my anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
How many years?
21.
Wow, that's 21 impressive.
Years. Yeah,
that's good.
And I gotta say, you know, I'm all married up, definitely.
Thanks for spending it with me, John.
Yes. Yeah. I have such an amazing wife. She would want me to have
you have
this
your
time
priorities in order, I will say. The show, then your wife. you know, and then everything else underneath. That's that's perfect. With
that's right.
me on top, of course. But go ahead.
Yeah, right there. Well, so when I was a senior in college, I met Amy, my wife. I met her in 1996, I believe it was. Yeah, 96. My spring semester of my...
That's the year I got married.
96. Oh, hey, there you go. So you're just a couple years ahead of me. I'm catching up. The spring semester of my junior year of college. She came in. She transferred from another school. So she actually technically went back to being a sophomore, I think, when she transferred in, because she changed her major and all that stuff. Anyways, she was a mutual friend of my roommate. My roommate was married and engaged to a lady that he met there at college, and she was best friends with his fiance. So it was inevitable that we were going to meet.
Yeah.
So we met and fell into deep like, and, you know, started dating not too long after we met. And my track record with dating wasn't always so great, I guess.
No, yeah. You've got a lot of destructive stories.
Yeah.
Disturbing stories.
It's not that bad. It sounds bad, but I guess it
you
is.
You broke up with someone dressed up as a clown.
Yeah, that's...
That's pretty high up there, John.
That's not my finest moment. Hey. I don't...
You got a balloon and you're... And then when you're done, it says, I'm breaking up with you.
It's over. I'm not the most intelligent person. I just got to say, people probably think, oh man, that guy's smart. And no, I'm not really.
They don't think that.
Okay, that's good. I wasn't sure what our listeners thought about it, but I'm not the most intelligent person. I can see that played out in the lives of my children. So
I can see the same. I can relate.
What were you thinking? I know what you were thinking.
I know. I can't yell at them sometimes because I'm like, you're just being me. And I'd have to beat myself. So.
So the typical progression in my dating relationships were, at least from high school on, not to say that I really dated in middle school, but anyways, things would get kind of serious. We'd talk about marriage and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden my mentality would change. I'd get scared and I'd be like, I don't think I need to be dating anymore. And then, so it usually ended with a breakup. So Amy and I had been dating for about almost a year, actually. And, I was going into the last leg of my senior year, and we had talked about marriage. I had even bought a ring, and you know, I had it on late. No, I actually paid it off. I had it in my house, and I was ready to pop the question.
Wow!
But I started getting cold feet, and I was thinking, what am I going to do when I graduate? All these serious things. I'm going to have to be a grown up, an adult. And I'm going to have to do this adulting thing.
Don't say that.
I didn't say that because that word didn't exist.
That was before it existed. It was a better time.
We invented it. Oh. No, I was saying I can't go into life or in a new career with you know, at least this was going on in my mind, with a wife and stuff. And
what kind of fool are you, John? Having someone
idiot.
That can help you through the trials and tribulations of life? Oh. So stupid.
I broke up. Yeah, dumb, right? Who thinks like that?
John.
John does. That's who.
You're a worrywart, aren't you? Are you? That's what my mom used to say. She'd say, you're a worrywart.
Your mom used to say that about me?
No. She would say it in general. And I've never heard anyone else say it, so I felt the need to maybe define it. But a worrywart is just someone that worries about things.
I wouldn't classify myself quite as a worrywart, but I think about things and scenarios and stuff, and I thought, I don't know how I'm going to do this. So I just gave up on it, and I was like, you know, whatever. So I broke up with this lady.
How did you break up with her? How did you do that? You bought a ring. And then you broke up with her.
I had, and we had talked through stuff. Yeah.
So,
you know, to hear her tell this, it's probably a little bit more funny because the way I did it, apparently, I was able to talk through this whole thing, this whole breakup. And at the end, she was like, "So you're breaking up with me?" And I was like, yeah, that's it. We're just going to, you know, go our separate ways.
So you never out and out said it. You just kind of snarfed all around it.
Really lame. You know, if I were somebody watching myself do this whole thing, I probably would have gone and beat me up. You know what I mean? You're an idiot, man. Yeah. Get yourself together.
This is John. John's like, "Oh, I'm glad you're here. I just want to talk to you a little bit about Estrabaza." And what did you say? Are you breaking up with me? That's your idea.
Yeah, that's probably what I was trying to think, making it think it's their idea.
It's you not said you, it first. Me. Yes.
Wait, you want to end this relationship? Yeah, that's it. That's what I was trying to say. I did. We broke up, and then
oh my gosh, for no good reason.
Pretty much, really, yeah. No good reason. I guess it was just the fear of commitment and things getting too real. And
yeah,
I
cold just, feet, the very definition. Cold yeah,
feet. Fortunately, it took place before I asked her to marry me. But so here's the thing. I realized about 2 weeks into it that I had made a mistake. You know, so here we are starting off the spring semester.
Really.
Of my senior year. Yeah, I broke up with her almost a year later after I met her. Almost exactly a year. That's ridiculous. But anyways, we're going into my senior year, and I realized just a week into this thing that I made a mistake.
I've made a horrible error.
I've made a huge mistake. Arrested Development. And so I was like, "Hey, you know, would you like to talk?" And then she's like, "Nah, you know, I'm good." She's like, I'm past it. I was like, "Wait, it's only been 2 weeks." But she, rightly so. I mean, she didn't want to have anything to do with me. She didn't really care to talk to me.
Oh, there's got to be a country song that's the topic of it somehow. I can't get over her getting over me or something like that.
Dude, I think that is a song.
Really?
If it's not, you need to market that right now.
I need to write it quick.
I can't get over her getting over me. That sounds too familiar.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's the second week into it. I being broke up, I thought, yeah, I gotta fix this. But there's nothing, absolutely nothing I could do to win her heart back. And wow. It was the worst semester of my
life. I bet you felt like total crap.
I did.
I mean, your heart must have been broken inside.
Yeah, it was.
I know that feeling because Jen dumped me once. And that's when things changed. I got her back, but dang. Yeah. But I didn't throw her away.
I lost weight. And Amy says that I moped around that whole semester.
Oh, man.
And I mean, I was bent on trying to win her back, but finally I was like, you know what? And this is where the spiritual aspect of this comes in. I was like, God, I can't do this. And I gave up. It's like, you know what? If this is going to be, I'm just going to have to trust you, God.
And God's up there shaking his head. You moron.
I didn't tell you to break up with her in the first place, you idiot.
You should have talked to me then.
Exactly. Probably shouldn't, but I did
she's
learn
perfect for you.
Yeah, she is. I learned a valuable thing then, and that was that I needed to trust and respect and love in a unique way and different. You know, it was a very important growing point of my life.
Right.
But here's where it gets good, because obviously you know the rest of the story. So she started talking to me again, and at our college at Southeastern, we had this junior-senior thing. It was like a prom where you don't dance. They brought in somebody and it was a big formal type affair. Did you have that when you were there?
No, I wasn't involved in campus life very much. I lived on campus. I was married, you know, so.
This was, you know, for the married folks too. But it was like a big stupid, it was a big thing, whatever. Sorry, my Siri just started talking to me.
It's all right. She wants to be on the show.
So I had worked it out. She started talking to me. I said, hey, you want to go to the junior senior with me? She's like, yeah, okay, I'll go. And I had made the decision that if she ever starts talking to me again, if she ever even has a hint of liking me, that I'm just going to go all in. I'm just going to go with it, as Felicia said in their last story. So I did, man. She said yes to this, going to the junior senior with me. And we started talking. We didn't really go out on any dates or anything either. It was just like we just started talking to each other. And I said, this is it. I'm going to ask her to marry me. And so I told a couple friends, and I was really good friends with a guy who was like emceeing this event. And so one of the things they do for the seniors as they walked in is they would announce the senior and their name, obviously, what they're majoring in and who they were escorted by. So I said, hey, when I go in, I want you to announce Amy as my fiance. Oh, and he's wow. like, oh, yeah, definitely. There was Terry. He's like, yeah, definitely. Because he knew the two of us. He knew the story. He's like, you know what? I'm going to do this. I asked her dad if I could marry her, all that stuff leading up to it, right? She had no idea.
No idea.
And so we
Can I just say, you're a dork, man.
You can say it. You can totally say it.
Because I would never be able to do that.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think I could either.
You did.
I have no idea what I was thinking.
You did. Anyway.
I did it. Yeah, I think of all these, you know, game-like things like the baseball stadium, the guy gets down on a knee and totally gets rejected.
Right.
None of that went through my mind. None of it. Because I thought, yeah, I've got her back. You know, she's talking to me. That's it. So we get in there, and I'm like really nervous all the way up to this point. And I'm like, I've got the ring in my pocket and I'm ready. You know, as soon as he announces me and her and she's going to look at him, I know how it's going to work out. So we get up there, and Terry, the guy who's announcing, says, this is John Steinklauber. He's a pastoral ministry major, church ministry major, and he's escorted by Amy Millsaps, his fiance. And she, because he was a mutual friend of ours, she turns and looks at him and gives him this look like, what in the world did you just do? And so while she's looking at him, I get down on one knee because I'm on the opposite side of where Terry is. And I get down on one knee.
Oh, boy.
And by this time, the whole room is starting to cheer and clap. And I'm like, wait a second. This might not turn out the way I thought it should.
Only then does it finally kick in.
Yeah.
This may not be the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah. It's Amy's shocked. She's like, she can't even react. She's
right.
Like, what in the world is going on? And I'm like, I'm down there on my knee for what it seems like an hour waiting for her to respond. Cause I feel like I said it at some point, will you marry me? And I'm holding the ring up and she's actually got her hand out and I start to slide it on her finger. I'm like, we got to get out of here because people are looking at me and they're cheering and I don't want this attention now. I don't know what I was thinking. Let's just go sit down and you could think about it. And so I get up and I'm like, yeah, let's just go sit down and you can think about this.
Oh, wow. Like, she didn't respond.
No, she's got her hand over her mouth. I mean, I can tell on her face that she's thinking about it.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't know.
She's feeling all the pressure.
Yeah. She. It's like, is she happy? Is she sad? What's going on here? I don't know. So I'm like, let's just get out of the spotlight and you can think about it if you want to say no. But no, I couldn't, because as I start to get up, one of the professors who knew the both of us, he's like, get back down. She didn't say anything. So I'm down there on my knee and got the ring, took it off of her finger, and I'm looking up at her and she's looking down at me. She's got her hand over her mouth. Her eyes are like a deer in headlights. And I just say, what do you think? Will you marry me? And she just, yes. And she did say yes. And so I put the ring on her finger. We went back and sat down. And that was the story of my life.
Wow.
I you know what? Talking through it like that, I don't don't know what I was thinking.
You're a moron.
I don't recommend this.
No. She had been working for 2 weeks getting in her head that I'm not going to share my life with this man. This thing is over. And then all of a sudden, you're slapping a ring out and saying, will you marry me? Gosh, you are so lucky that she said yes. I was totally expecting it to go another way, but I'm glad she made you uncomfortable. I'm glad she made you wait there on your knee. Oh, my gosh.
You know, so it wasn't just a couple weeks. So, you know, like we broke up in January. We got engaged in April. And so there's a couple months there where there was no communication between the two of us. So
you're an all or nothing person, man. You couldn't have just talked to her and said, hey, we're kind of going fast and I got this ring and I'm a little scared. Can we just kind of dial it back for a few months? No, you got a dumper.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm not the most intelligent.
Has she forgiven you for all of this? I'm assuming.
She
still has a dark part of her soul for you, doesn't she?
Maybe she does. I don't think so.
Did she bring it up often? Like,
no.
Do you ever do anything like, and then like say you're going to do something and commit to something and then you back out and she says, oh yeah, I know what that feels like. She ever do that kind of stuff?
No. Because I changed in that 2 months. I really think I did. I think something happened in me and I matured and I grew up. At least I'm hoping that. Because, you know, every day she makes me feel like she's the lucky one. What I know that it's not the case. I'm the lucky one in this whole relationship.
Yeah. Wow. Gosh, dude.
She still thinks I'm good looking. And I'm bald and
ugly. Nah, you're a good looking dude, John. I can't take that away from you there.
I don't see it, but
she,
especially not now with the poison ivy on my face.
Usually I say that, you know, when I hear people are married, I say to the woman or the man, I say, congratulations. To the woman, I say, you know, I'm so sorry. but in your case, I would say to both of you, I would say congratulations because you are a good team. You guys are great.
Wow.
But she didn't deserve you, or you didn't deserve her then. I'll tell you that right now. Good Lord. Wow.
I didn't. I've never told you this then, huh?
No.
This is all new?
It sounds all new to me.
Okay.
If you've told it, it's been long enough to where I've forgotten it and erased it from my memory. But goodness gracious. It's like cringe city over here.
I've never thought about it like that. I just thought, you know. And we did, you know, that couple weeks in between where I asked her to go to this thing with me and her saying yes, and then us actually going to this thing, because that was only a couple weeks. I mean, I said, hey, do you want to go to the junior senior with me? And she thought about it. And she said, yeah, okay. And so that couple weeks we did start talking more. And it wasn't like we were complete strangers and stuff.
Right.
She saw me around campus and was like, oh, that guy needs to get a life. He's just moping around all the time.
Oh, man, you came so close to ruining it. But you said it was a growing thing, huh?
Well, I think I matured and grew up a little bit in that time. So I
know with my situation, when Jen just finally got mad at me and dumped me, one time, like she, you know, because I just wasn't taking the relationship as seriously as I should. And, you know, I was just kind of being a butt whenever. And she dumped me. And man, I'll tell you what, I was like military precision after that. I was like, I will do whatever it takes to reclaim your heart. I will serve you faithfully.
Yeah.
And she did take me back. And it was a change, man, a drastic change from then on.
And you grew up, right?
I grew up or something. I don't know.
But I think that's what happened with me. That's what
I'm just whooped. So now it's just like, oh, I'll do whatever you say as long as you'll let me live here. You know, let me keep my last name, please. So no, she's awesome.
Well, yeah.
Thanks for sharing that, John.
I apologize if it was too long.
No, it was right on target. We do have some listener stories though I'd like to share.
I would like to hear them.
All right, this one's called Healthy Greens. Hello, James and John. The story you shared on a previous episode about a lady picking her nose and devouring the contents reminded me of a story. Dadgummit, dadgummit, dadgummit.
I forgot about that.
Dadgummit.
Okay.
My daughter has the same problem. She won't eat her veggies because they're green, but that doesn't stop her from partaking in eating the green stuff that comes out of her nose.
Oh, kids, God bless them.
One day, I had enough of her disgusting habits, so I decided to Google the effects of noshing on nosy num-nums.
That's so brilliantly written.
It's hurting me. Show her just how harmful it is, but alas, most of the articles I found, which came from legitimate sources, spoke of how, how healthy.
I'm glad you're reading this.
How healthy it is to snack on your own snot. Gosh, I need my trash can. Hold on.
Actually, it's going to be kind of comical.
Okay. If the audio sounds weird, it's because it's echoing through a trash can that's being held underneath the microphone.
Remember, smile to purge the gag reflex. Wasn't that the advice we got last
week? Yeah, I'm smiling now. Okay. I was taken aback. Surely this could not be true. I was disappointed, and I took the stance that you cannot believe everything you read on the internet. I think we made it through the bad part. All I can do is hope my daughter eventually grows out of this flavoring phase. Favoring phase.
Phlegm favoring phase.
I feel it. I feel it coming back again like a roll of thunder chasing the wind. Forces moving in the center of the earth again.
Is that helping?
I can feel it. I don't know. Sorry for all the cheesy alliteration. It just kind of came out that way. Hope you pick this story to read on the show. Thank you, James and John. Dan Lewis from Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Dan, you're banned from the show forever now.
Pick this story. It's a real winner.
Gosh, I really get queasy over booger stuff. Gosh.
Really?
Yeah. Let's read another one.
Okay.
Sure.
I got one for you.
All right.
This is about a tall enough toddler. Comes to us from Samantha in Louisiana. I have a little brother who's 13 years younger than me. When I was a teenager, he was a toddler. So like when you're 16, he's 3, right? I'm good at math. I don't know if y'all know that or not, but I could do the math. When he was around 3, he figured out that he was just the right height to headbutt my older brother in the crotch.
Oh, boy.
That should only be something that happens once.
Yeah.
Since we laughed the first time that he did this,
first
he started
mistake.
Doing it every time.
Yes.
Not only to my brother, but to every male that came to my house. This included all my boyfriends and friends that were boys. I have some friends from high school who still cross their legs when I mention my little brother's name. Thankfully, he is now grown and over 6 feet tall, so he doesn't do it anymore.
Not that you know of, but
only to giants. Only to giants.
Samantha.
Have a great day. Thank you, Samantha in Louisiana. You know, this happened to me once, not by my little brother because I don't have one, but you remember that sports store I used to work at?
Yeah.
Randy Rock, man. He had a little boy. His name was Daniel. Still has him.
White-haired boy?
Yeah, blonde. His hair was so blonde it looked white. Randy was outside. I was going in for work one day. He was standing outside talking to a customer that was a friend, and he had the door open. I was walking. Hey, Randy, how you doing? A high school kid walking in to the store, and his son runs up to me with his arms straight out, which are in the place where head level to infinity, and I was hit uncomfortably so in front of a customer, and I doubled over in pain and kind of stumbled into the sports store there, and I thought, if this kid ever is alone without his dad, I'm going to kick him very hard. Because that was painful and embarrassing, but I never did.
Of course you did it.
Not that guy.
You're too nice.
Tried to laugh it off, but you know, he can only laugh so high when that happens.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, the kids at that age is dangerous. I told years ago, I had to have been back when I was at Sheffield, just talking to a guy and his wife, and his kids were all around. And one of them was about that same height and that same age, a little girl, blonde headed girl. And she's looking at stuff that's at eye level, I suppose. And she reached up and she saw something poking, I suppose. And she honked. She squeezed it like a freaking bicycle horn. And I went, woo! And the guy I'm talking to knew what had happened because he sees her hand coming down. He saw my midsection kind of go backwards. And he just looks at me and says, sometimes they do that. And I'm like, and we just continued the conversation.
Sometimes
they do that, you know, just something like that. I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was just so casual. Like he didn't even think it was a thing. I'm like, at least correct her. Let her know that anything poking out there is not for you to investigate, dadgummit.
Did she like really make the honk noise?
No, but you, okay. but that's the hand grasp image that I want you to have in your hand. If you held up your hand and mimicked like you're honking one of those old black handle. Yeah. That's what she did to me. Honk like that.
Oh,
it was,
man,
terrible. It was the worst. And I had to stand there and kind of keep one eye on her. And
yeah, you kind of
kind of pivot away. So anyway, we got a story called Preschool Prayer Power. Hi, James John. I was reminded in your recent show about the hilarity that can come with prayers that small children pray. My four-year-old son has a best friend that he's known since they were both tiny babies. His friend, let's call him Taylor, was the sort of boy that can be quite mischievous and also has a great fondness for occasionally declaring, "You're not my friend anymore." Yeah, they do that.
The ultimate.
Yeah. I'm having a birthday and you're not invited. So as four-year-olds do, yeah, they do that. My son takes life quite seriously, and he usually tells me when Taylor has broken their relationship again.
Mm.
So one night he was quite upset about how things were going with his and Taylor's friendship, and he decided he was going to pray about it at bedtime. So he's lying in bed, rolled over on his stomach. He puts his face in his pillow, and God, he starts with a sigh. Please help me and Taylor to be better friends. But we can't. We can't be better friends, so you're going to have to do it. Amen. And then he rolled over and settled down to sleep. This very serious prayer was repeated every night for at least a week. See, we're hopeless is basically what this guy's saying. It's going to have to be a miracle straight from God for them to pull it together, these four-year-olds. Apparently it worked, though. Because although my son tells me sometimes they aren't very good friends because, quote, sometimes Taylor's bees bossy and isn't a very good friend thing to do, unquote. Maybe Taylor needs more prayer. Hope you find this amusing, wow. Elizabeth.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the prayers of kids are great.
They are. And then he did it for like a week. That's impressive.
He was dedicated. I mean, that counts as intercession for kids.
Yeah. I mean, we give up after a day. We don't get something that we pray for.
I recorded my son praying one time, and I'm so glad I did. I don't know where that recording is, or I'd play it right now. But it was great. I mean, the kids are funny even with they don't know they're funny, because he had this thing that he would say at the beginning and end of every prayer. And he's 11 years old and he's changed the ending now, but the beginning is the same as it's been forever. And he's had to extend it twice because we got two dogs. He's like, "Dear God, thank you for Dad, Mom, Jenna, me and Moffitt." That's the way it used to be. Dad, Mom, Jenna, me and Moffitt. And now it's Dad, Mom, Jenna, me and Moffitt and Leia. He has to add that in, but he's so fast at it. He's like, "Thank you for James John and Mama." And then at the end, his old prayer used to end with, thank you for food, drinks, everything, Lord. I love you, God, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So that would get very quick. Thank you for food, drinks, everything, Lord.
Like a, it's like an auctioner, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And I love you, God, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. And see, he doesn't do the food and drinks anymore. And I love that. I always loved that he thanked God for drinks.
Food and drinks, yeah.
Yeah.
Good to thank God, even when you're not eating or drinking, right?
I enjoy a good soda once in a while, a glass of iced tea like I had this weekend at a deli, because they had sweet tea out here in the Midwest, and it was wonderful. So I should have bowed my head that night and thanked God for drinks, but
food, drinks and everything.
He's got a thing about drinks. He loves making drinks. Like every night after they go to bed, I'll come downstairs and there's a drink prepared, and he made it. It's usually just water, ice in a straw in a cup, but he made the whole thing almost like a flipping bartender.
He's a mixologist.
Yeah, yeah. And then he takes two sips before he goes to bed, and then he leaves it, and he goes upstairs, you know. And so, I don't know. He's a weird kid. But he's still grateful for drinks. We got a voicemail. It's from Shane, the Blind Hatter, and it's called Mailroom Moron. So it goes a little something like this.
Hey there, That Story Show. This is the Blind Hatter. Some of your older listeners may have heard this comedy routine done by a comedian in the early to mid 80s. I don't think he ever did it in real life, and I don't recommend it for anyone who's planning to join the military service. However, I was in a audacious mode and decided to go ahead and test my luck.
Googling audacious.
Back in my 20s, I was stationed on a helicopter base in Southern California. And when you answered the phone there, you had to give your squadron name, your group name.
Audacious, showing a willingness to take surprisingly bold risks. So there you go.
That sounds good.
And your division name, and followed by how can I help you, sir or ma'am. I hated it. And because my office, I was the only one that answered the phone, and because everybody that called my office were junior to me, I quickly began eliminating that whole process and just saying, yo, mailroom. One day, the phone rings. I pick it up, doing my standard routine. Yo, mailroom. And I hear on the other end of the line, is that how you normally answer the phone, Marine? Usually? Do you know who this is? No. This is Lieutenant Colonel John Smith. Sir?
Uh-oh.
Yes. Do you know who this is? No. Good. Click. I ran out of the office and told whoever's behind me, do not answer that phone under any circumstances.
Wow.
I hope you enjoyed that story. Thank you for the clean podcast. Thanks.
All right. Good job.
Oh, man. Do you know who this is?
No.
Good. Bye. Sucker.
I did that one time on a Navy base, believe it or not. I worked on the Navy base for Johnson Controls.
Yeah.
And I was in the sign shop. So it wasn't my shop. It was another shop. And I was sitting there doing some sign cutting and things like that, just kind of playing around. And the phone rings and I answer it. And it is a businessman, because there's the shop area. And then there's all the white collar guys that work, you know, on the other side. And I could tell it was one of those. And he's like, hey, is Billy there? And he's like, and I'm like, Billy, who? Hello, Billy, Billy, are you here? Billy, Billy, Billy. And I'm just being stupid. I don't know what. I was audacious. I was just
being audacious.
And he's like, who is this? And I'm like, I don't know. Wow, I'll just find out. And he's like, I know where I'm calling. And I'm like, well, you should probably send somebody over then. And I slammed the phone down and I went back to my work. And then I'm like, I could play it off. Like when they come in here, I'm in a totally different part of the room, but then I got to explain and describe who was there at the phone. Oh, so man. I left. I just simply left the area. I never got caught. Never did.
It was Billy.
It was Billy.
Billy did it.
Lieutenant Colonel Billy got me. No, I was just being so stupid. I was never like that, but it was just something about the anonymity that made me kind of go crazy. And I would like repeat everything he said and kind of made fun of him. And he was mad. I knew who it was too. It was a guy. I can't remember his name, but It was a guy who had a reputation. Like, you didn't mess with this guy. And he would fire you and stuff. And he had been in an accident, and they had taken he had lost his thumb. So they had taken his index finger and bent it around so it would act as a thumb. So he had a four-finger hand, but his pointer finger was his thumb. And so he was wicked looking, dude. And I was messing with him, and you know me, I don't do that kind of stuff.
No.
But I felt safe until I hung up the phone, and I'm like, I gotta get the heck out of here, man.
Man.
I'm gonna get caught.
You were the originator of the internet troll, weren't you?
I guess so.
You get that behind the screen bravado or
yeah. Audacity.
You're audacious, yeah.
Mercy, oh man,
that's scary. I don't know that I've ever done that.
No, I've never done it again. I can tell you that right now. Dear John and James, this is from Brooke. I'm a sixth grader, so I will speak in middle school talk. Please read an obnoxious teenage girl voice. Okay, well, all of you sound the same to me, girls and boys, so you get this. Okay, so my name is Brooke, and I live in Georgia. So me and my brother were in preschool, and there were these cupcakes, and they were really delicious. But anyway, that's not an important part. The important part was that there were these cupcakes. And these cupcakes were in this perfect container, all concealed and contained. And it was after a birthday party, and they were at the container and somebody threw them away. So me and my brother decided it was not fair to the cupcakes. So we decided we would rescue the little cupcakes. And so it's those trash cans that you put out on the street, and it was really tall. So my brother held my ankles, and I reached in and grabbed the cupcakes with the perfect little container. And once we got there, we totally ate them, and they were totally delicious. And it was just a perfect day after then. And this school teacher decided to laugh at us, and it was really mean, and it was sad, and it made me cry. Brooke.
I think she was from the valley.
Yeah, I know.
Like Pharrell, man.
It made me want to change my talking. I actually left out a few likes, believe it or not, because I got tired of saying
five of them.
Yeah, if you missed that, basically preschool Brooke ate out of the garbage.
Basically.
With the help of her brother, who.
And then was embarrassed when she got laughed at.
Yeah. But she made it clear that they were in a really good container, which I'm sure the safety of which is we can absolutely trust the judgment of a preschooler.
Yes, yes.
To say what is sanitary and what is not.
They weren't just going to liberate those cupcakes. They were going to devour them.
What were you doing, young lady? No. What were you doing in that trash can? Oh, it was straw bizarre. You were
eating cupcakes.
That's your idea. That's what you said.
It's straw bizarre.
Straw bizarre.
No.
Well,
Bella's got a story here. You want me to read
it? Yeah, go for it, man.
Okay, Bella. Hello, it's Bella. And I want to share this short but embarrassing story. Okay, so I was at Wendy's with some friends, and we were about to leave, so I went to the bathroom. Well, the door lock was broken, so some people had people come with them to stand outside the door to keep it shut. Well, I really had to go, and I did not think that someone would come in, so I get in there, and I'm going to the bathroom, when all of a sudden, an old lady, this is in all caps, an old lady that worked there walks in.
No, no!
And does not even notice me. She came in to get the trash, and I said, excuse me. She said, oh, sorry, hun. I just came in to get the trash. Sorry, does that lock not work on there, hun? And it's she's sitting there wanting to have a conversation with me, and then I said, no, you could please get out. Could you please get out? And she says, oh, sure, hun, sorry. And the thing that I thought to myself, I should have gotten someone to hold the door. Well, that's my story, Bella.
So obviously this is one of those one toilet wonders, there. That's the name of this story. One toilet wonder. I didn't title that one for some reason, but Yeah. At first, I thought it was a dude. The whole time I was reading this, until I got to Bella, I thought it was a dude. I always guess genders wrong on these things. And I'm just imagining him sit, you know, standing at the urinal with right, the old yeah. lady coming in. And, you know, it, and it's a little awkward. But, no, this lady's got pants to the ankles sitting on a toilet. Lady just comes on in just like, hey, don't notice me. I'm just here to get the trash. So
don't you worry. Hey, will you reach around over there and get that
yeah,
trash?
Yeah, can you pick that up, hon, while you're sitting down there like that?
Yeah.
Oh,
goodness. You ain't doing nothing.
Oh, man.
I'm assuming by the reading of the writing here, she's probably a younger girl. And so when she says an old lady, I'm thinking, you know, somebody in their 30s.
Mid-30s. Well, it's funny. I messaged her and told her that we were going to use it on the show. And she writes back, I had not looked at the date, and it was from 2016. She says, oh my gosh. She says, you realize I was 11 then. And she's like, you know, with much love and a lot of embarrassment, you know, whatever. She still gave us permission to use it, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I told her about Red School Bus, and because she's the same age as my daughter now.
But, oh, wow.
So it took a while to get on the show, but
hey, at least this is the show that you just never know.
Yeah. Sometimes the good ones get tucked back, you know, it's an accident, but
I love the all caps writing it. I hope that worked for it.
It did. We do have some official middle school drama though. So, here we go.
Dang it. Move out of the way, stupid.
Today's middle school drama comes to us from Noah from Washington. Hi, it's me, Noah, again from Washington. My story is in school, and I have a phone, and I'm doing my work, and the kid next to me loves Fortnite and anime, so his phone is not off, like off. His phone starts ringing, and I thought it was my phone, and I check, but it was the other kid's phone, and it sounds like this. Hello, Morris, dun, dun, dun. I was laughing so historically. So that was my story. I hope you like my story and keep it up. Bye, Noah from Washington. And that has been today's middle school drama.
Yes. Dang it. Move out of the way, stupid.
All right.
And James, how does one laugh historically?
I don't know. Throughout the ages.
I don't know. I love laughing historically. I want to laugh like that all the time.
Laugh, professors just crowd the room and start writing down details about your laughter. That's when you know you're laughing historically. They are taking this down. This is historical. This is a historical moment.
That's big news.
I love that his phone was not, it was off, but it wasn't like off. You know what I'm saying?
It wasn't off enough.
Straubaza. So, hey, remember, if we used your story, we owe you a sticker. So email me your address, okay? And I send them out about once a month. So don't get too sad about having to wait a little while. That's our story, and that's what we're sticking to. And that's the show. Send your stories, email or audio to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. ThatStoryShow.com is the website. Follow us on Twitter at That Story Show. My personal Twitter is at NLCast. John, do you have a Twitter that you use?
I don't use it, but it's at Jay Steinclover.
Okay. You can review us on iTunes or wherever you found us. It always helps. And if you want more great shows like this one, visit NLCast.com. Thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to James Spangler, Eric Kube, Zane Estrada, Janusz Strzyspek, and Carrie Wright. Become a patron today and support the show and get all kinds of awesome perks at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, gross, or if some old lady walks in on you while you're on the pot, remember, don't get stressed, don't get depressed, and don't laugh historically. Just think, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Thank John.
Thank you, Jay.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
I always like the endings. Every one of them is like a blank slate, and I get to paint with my voice.
And you paint it with such artistic wonder.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you.
We're going to do some bonus content after this for the patrons.
Yes.
I say that in a sneaky way to make regular listeners who've been on the fence about supporting the show, to make them want to support the show for as little as $2 a month. Ooh. You can do it. I believe in you.
$2 a month?